You're right. It is Dr. Morgan. Good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials. I took advantage of
last week.
Who am I to talk over myself? Come on, Roy. Push the button. You know what I did? I just grabbed the Bible that I think Randy and or John Paul has right here under the keyboard, and I looked it up. Now, I know that there's going to be a lot of people that are listening. They're not going to believe this. But you know what? I'm choosing to believe it. And maybe if you believe this too, this might help you just a little bit figure some things out. It comes from the book of Genesis. It's chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." There you go. Guess what you are? You're made in the image of God. Guess what your husband is? He is made in the image of God. And your mother, and your father, and your children. So don't tell me it's too hard to drink water. I'm serious. You're made in the image of God. Why should that be hard for you? I know I've had this conversation many times, but it keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. Let me say it one more time. Every good chemical reaction that takes place to benefit you, to bless you, to help you, well, guess what? It takes place in the presence of adequate water. Man, I hear excuses all day long. You know what? I'm beginning to wonder, do we actually believe that our excuses are valid? I think sometimes we do. You know what? When I look around, and you know what? Some of me is just talking to myself, and I'm going to freely admit, I'm made in the image of God. How should I conduct myself? What should I do with my time? You know, and I get it, though. If you put your body in front of, on the couch, and you watch Fox News 12 hours a day, I know what you're going to think. Woe is me. The world's coming to an end. There's nothing I can do. This is horrible. And probably every phrase that comes out of your mouth is going to be complaining, complaining, complaining. That ain't good. You know, one of the things that I'm going to do, or on my list of what I want to accomplish, I'm going to look at all the chemical reactions that take place in the human body when you complain. Then I'm going to counter that with what are all the good, positive reactions that take place in your body when you're grateful and you have gratitude and you're thankful. You know, when I was a boy, there was a word that I would hear my father say occasionally. I think he's the only one I've ever heard say it. No, well, that's not true. I think I've heard it said, but I haven't heard it said in a long time. But he was referencing a person calling them an ingrate. Well, you know what that means. If you don't know, look it up. But what are we supposed to do these days? I mean, the world is in a major crisis when it comes to health. I gave a talk the other day, and in the talk, I think I quoted the statistic that in the year 2019, 154.3, maybe it's 0.6, I don't remember now. Maybe it's 154 people per 100,000 are going to come down with cancer this year in America. Okay? And then I said, well, what do you think that was like in 1930? And, you know, the audience probably just didn't know. And you know what? So I read it to them. Exactly 154 per 100,000. Nothing's changed, folks. Nothing. You know what I recommend that you do? Be your own best advocate. Take care of yourself. Quit being so comfortable all the time. We've been so programmed to avoid discomfort, fatigue, fear. We don't want to be tested. And maybe this is only my opinion after, you know, dealing with some of these things. Everything's a test. How do you know that what you're going through right now with your health is not a test directly from God to see what you'll do? You know, that happened to King Asa. King Asa was actually a very good king of Judah for a while, but in the very end, he became very infirmed with his feet, which means he's got a problem with his feet. I don't know if it was an ingrown toenail, or if it was a bunion, or gout, or neuropathy. I mean, you could just keep filling the blank, sores, wounds. It could be anything. But he never once inquired of God. You know what the best thing you could do right now is? Ask God for help with your problem. And then if the solution revolves around you doing your job, You know what your job is? To take care of yourself. Do you have a God-given duty to do so? Yes, you do. You remember what the verse says in Luke chapter 17, verse 10? Even after you've done everything that you're commanded to do, ye shall say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. So quit making a big deal out of it that drinking a glass of water is like some major milestone that you deserve to get a cookie or a reward for or heaping praise on your head. No, you don't. You're only doing your duty. So if you want to have health, you're going to have to come to terms with this life of comfort that we have in America, because most people just don't move enough. And I'm talking to me too. What would you do if you actually had more energy? Would you use that in a productive manner? Would you use it to bless and help other people? Of course you would. So on one level, your health is your ticket to serving God and your family and your fellow man, which is fun. Are you the type of man or woman that likes a challenge and say, yes, Lord, I will accept? I accept that challenge. I'll do it. Do you ever say to God, yes, sir, I will obey? You're better off if you do. But I can tell you, in this world, there's going to be plenty of pain and suffering. It's never going to end. And so you have to choose how you're going to take care of yourself. But if you want to live a life of ease and comfort, and the only thing that you're going to put in your mouth is going to be called a Diet Pepsi, well, you're headed to the road of disaster. You just are. Even last, what was it, Monday morning of this week, I began to read the article that came up on the news feed on my phone, and it was saying that if you drink diet soft drinks, when I say diet soft drinks, they're not sweetened with sugar, they're not even sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, they're not sweetened with apple juice, it's not a fruit drink, well, you know what they're sweetened with. It's a substance called aspartame, or acesulfame K, or Splenda, sucralose, saccharin. Should I keep going? That's probably the only ones I actually know. Well, guess what the study said? 3 times the Alzheimer's if you drink diet soft drinks. Which I told one person about that, and they said, are we better off drinking regular ones? I said, do you really expect me to answer that in a positive way? Heck no, you're not. And so the choice is completely yours. You can't tell me there's not such a thing as a free will. I know there's a lot of people that believe that we're puppets on a string and that, you know, we have no say in the matter. Yes, you do. You have a big say in the matter. What are you going to do? You know, part of the gift that God gives us, he gives you a choice. You know what? Did God create evil? I don't believe he did at all. No way. But there was always the opening or the potential. I mean, didn't Satan himself choose the wrong path or direction? He did. Are all of us sinners? Absolutely. Well, what are you going to do? So if your health is not in good shape right now, you've got to set your mind like flint that you've got to either accept this. And you know what would really help a lot? I'm telling you right now, if you can accept whatever your problem is with gratitude and thank God for it, then I think you can start moving forward in the right direction. If all you're going to do is complain about it and say you don't understand and you're going to skirt your responsibility and you're going to say, I don't accept the challenge, I'm not going to be tested, I don't like being uncomfortable, I'm too tired, I need to sit on the couch all day long and watch the news channel or whatever shows you watch, well, you know, it's your choice. You can do it. Anyway, I've had several people try to call in. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you want to call me and ask a question or make a comment, I'll open up the phone lines. This program's Health Essential. You are listening to KBJS FM 90.3. So the phone number again is 903-586-5257, in case you want to call and ask a question. I'm looking at it right here in front of me, and I have to thank Georgia for this right here, but it's just so true, and you got to know what you're getting into. In this article, it's just saying, if a woman is pregnant and she has a hard go with morning sickness, and I'm telling you, I'm very sympathetic to that, but you have to understand that when you become pregnant, your body's going to do what's best for the baby, which means we're going to go through a massive house cleaning and detoxification. So the end result is you have horrible morning sickness and nausea and vomiting. We'll come back to this momentarily. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question regarding magnesium.
Yes, ma'am.
You have said how important it is, and I think you recommended the magnesium lactate. And but I'm just curious, there's when you go to the health food store, there's so many kinds of magnesium source. Mm-hmm. And I know some are not good. You said some are rocks and whatever. So
yeah, like if it says magnesium oxide on the label, that's probably not going to be a form that's going to be really that great.
So can you explain why there's the variety in, I mean, are they all just bad and just
No, I don't want to say it that way. I mean, they're all useful. And so let me tell you the way that I'm looking at it. And that way we'll be on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who created magnesium?
God.
Exactly. And where's magnesium found? It's found in the crust of the earth. It's found in the soil. And so the way that men and women and children get magnesium, well, guess how they do it? What they do is they eat the plants that come from the soil, and thereby the plant is doing its job. So if you go out to the garden and you say, you know, these plants are looking really, really anemic right here. What am I supposed to do to help perk them up? And somebody gives you the idea that you could just go to the store and buy a big bag of what's called Epsom salt, which Epsom salt is known as what? Magnesium sulfate. But it's the job of the plant. Its job is to take the magnesium from the magnesium sulfate from the Epsom salt or from the soil and get it into the tomatoes or the cucumbers or the kale or the zucchini or yellow squash. And so if the soil contains magnesium, hey, the plant is well equipped to take that and put it into a food form. It transforms the magnesium. Now, you know that I'm just joking by saying this right here, but I don't know of any animals in nature that go up to a chunk of limestone and say, you know what, I really think I need some magnesium, so I'm going to start licking this rock. It just doesn't work that way. But when the deer or the antelope or the elephants, when they eat plants, they're getting the magnesium that God has prepared for them. It's in the form of real food. And so that's one of the problems with magnesium supplements. They're not real food. And the reason why I said either magnesium lactate or even maybe magnesium glycinate, they're more bioavailable to the human body and to the cells, and so they're more useful.
So what's the glycinate made of?
Glycinate is, it's going to be an amino acid called glycine, which you'll be interested to know that one of the spacecraft from Japan that was looking at what was in a comet that flew by not that long ago, they found the amino acid glycine. I think I just officially wasted your time on that one. but they're looking for what are the building blocks of life. And so your body's made of amino acids. And so in a laboratory, they'll take magnesium that comes from strip mining. And usually the way they get magnesium is they take and put a bunch of charges of dynamite, or however they do it, in the soil. And they blow this entire field the size of a football field. And they come up with an excavator and haul the dirt off to the... what's the device called that has a conveyor belt and a hopper where they shake and start separating out different minerals? Well, that's what they do. And they're just taking magnesium and trying to separate out from the iron ore or from the nickel, or in my case, gold and silver. I mean, I usually go to the creek behind my house and pull out a few nuggets a day. I'm just joking. It doesn't exist. But they're taking that and they're trying to chemically react it with a type of an amino acid to make it more agreeable to the human body. And I get that, and I think there's value in that. Mm-hmm. But magnesium deficiency is one of the greatest deficiencies that we have in our food supply. But then again, that is what happens when you use rock phosphate fertilizer. If you hop up the soil on steroids and you make it work so hard, you're going to burn through the magnesium. But then again, another way of looking at this is, the more stress that a human being is under, they burn through their reserves of magnesium at a much faster rate, which, now, that's my terminology. That's just the way I look at it. Somebody else may not agree, but magnesium, it is absolutely one of the greatest deficiencies of the soils in America. And so how do we get that back in the soil? Well, you hire a bunch of goats and animals and cows and everything else to start pooping and peeing all over the soil and trample it in really, really good. And then you can get all the microorganisms to do their job. And the job of the bacteria in the soil is to start breaking up the magnesium that's in the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So the plants can uptake it and absorb it and use it that way when you eat You know how your husband takes that zucchini noodle maker or the zoodle maker and runs them through and says, "Sweetheart, I'm not going to let you eat regular pasta. That's just pure starch. Let me get a zucchini and, like, make noodles out of that." And you go, "That's great." Well, you're eating magnesium from the soil right there. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Or if you have fish from the ocean or seafood, or you have wild game like deer or elk,
then
you're getting it that way. But I would say magnesium is really a critical issue. Let me give you like a couple of bullet points here. Mm-hmm. If I gave you like a test question, I said, "Ma'am, what is the most important thing of all time to strengthen your bones? Would it be taking calcium? Would it be taking vanadium? Would it be chromium? Would it be zinc? Would it be magnesium? Which one of those has by far and away the greatest impact on strengthening the bones?" What would you say?
Magnesium.
You're smart and you're correct too. Magnesium actually has more to do with strengthening the bones. That's one of the reasons why it is going to fail every single time if you take just rock calcium from the soil and put it in the capsule. And the studies are showing that when women take calcium supplements after they go through menopause, it only does one thing. It increases, well, more than one thing. It increases their risk of having a heart attack. It increases their risk of having a stroke or a blood clot. And also increases the risk of a fracture of the spine or the hip or one of the vertebrae, something like that. And when you say, "Well, how can this happen?" Well, let me say it this way. The human body is really, it's a genius designed by God. I mean, it's just so incredible. I stand in awe of it. So when I read the verse in Psalms that says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made," I'm going, "Oh boy, I don't even know a half of it. I don't even understand a tenth of God's creation." But when we try to get rock calcium and ingest it, expecting it to do good for us, it's not in a form that we can use. Now, if you got that rock phosphate from a cow, that'd be different. You know what that's called? That's called Swiss cheese. So when the cow eats the grass that grows in a limestone-rich soil, the cow is able to process it because it's got this huge gut with all these microbes and bacteria, and they transform the calcium into a usable form. And in turn, when you have Swiss cheese, you're going, "Man, this stuff's incredible. My bones are getting stronger." Well, you're getting it from food. The same would be true if you ate salmon or if you had kale from your garden. All that's rich in calcium, but it's the plant and the animals that are doing the transformation for us. And so if we eat the very things that God has made, you're going to be in much better shape by eating salmon and kale and Swiss cheese, or actually putting butter on it. I think you've probably heard me say before that in a lot of the major studies from nursing home facilities, if they only put butter on whatever they're eating, they'll absorb 15% more nutrients, and the human's nutritional status goes up just by adding butter, because you got to have fat to absorb nutrients. Did your mother ever take like hog jaw or, you know, bacon or something like that and put it in a pot of beans when she would cook them?
I don't know. Can't say that I remember that, but
you mean they didn't do that in Venezuela?
No.
Well, but that's one of the old school ways of doing it, and I really think it's correct. And so, when you put fat into food, you live a whole lot longer and better. That's one of the reasons why one of the best things that probably anybody listening could do to improve their health is if they could just set their mind that they're going to have something that's higher in fat for breakfast. And so if I said, right now I can hear your husband in the background on the stove. He's got the heat turned up a little bit too high because I can hear your eggs sizzling right now.
Yes, right.
So, like if you had two eggs over easy with an avocado for breakfast, oh my goodness.
Perfect breakfast, huh?
It would be really hard to beat. So if you want to have energy, if you want to heal, if you want to feel better, and there is some magnesium in the avocado. And then if you use Celtic or Celtic salt, to me, I think that's been tested to be the most magnesium-rich salt that you can get. And since it comes from the ocean, it's already been processed by microbes. And so if you use Celtic salt on your food, you're benefiting your body that way too.
I use that all the time, so I'm grateful for the information.
No, you betcha. So if you get your, if you get the vast majority of your nutrients from real food, mm-hmm. you're always going to come out on top.
Mm-hmm. So could you explain one, if you understand, if somebody's pre-diabetic, I understand, or even diabetic, they usually don't, they're not able to absorb the nutrients, right? Because they cannot get the cells are, let's say, overloaded with sugar or I mean, they're too full. I'm paraphrasing here.
No, you're doing great.
So let me ask this way. How do I know that my nutrients are getting to the cells, and how do I know they are not? What it caused them not to get into the cells?
Okay. When I told you earlier that if you had like a bowl of black-eyed peas in front of you, or carrots, or you had some fresh spinach, or you had okra, what are you going to do to enhance how you can absorb more of the nutrients and more of the benefits from the plant so your cells can use them? Well, you add butter to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have an organ system in your body called your liver. Okay. And the liver is connected at the hip with the gallbladder. And every night when you go to bed, your liver is probably, or your bile ducts in your liver, there's 50,000 of them, they're going to manufacture a substance called bile. Mm-hmm. And they make a lot of it. I mean, they make a lot. But when you make high-quality bile, that's your ticket to extracting calcium and magnesium and potassium and sodium and chloride and all the other nutrients that are essential, silica, that you've got to have in order to be strong and healthy. So first things first, if you eat a high-fat breakfast like we just talked about, like if your husband's making an omelet for you and he cuts up or sautés onions and bell peppers and tomatoes, I mean, that's like mm-hmm. excellent right there. Mm-hmm. You're making it very easy for your body to win. That's why, I know you've heard the term empty calories.
Yeah.
The quickest way to suck all the nutrients out of your body is by eating any empty calories. That'd be called a soda water for breakfast. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because they contain phosphoric acid, and you put something super, super acidic in your body, and your body goes into a crisis and says, what are we going to do to put this acid fire out? And so it releases alkalizing minerals. Usually it strips them from the bone. Now, I do want to answer your question more precisely, but I'm going to tell you one of the biggest problems that I face day in, day out. And I really am being serious about this. So I just want you to consider what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So technically on paper, you would agree with me that if a person is very sedentary and they sit around watching TV all day long and they don't really move their body very much, or if they have a job that requires them to sit at a desk for 12 hours a day and they never get to move, well, you know, that's not going to improve their energy production. And that's going to destroy their nutritional status. Even if they eat pretty good, the mm-hmm. body is designed to move. And you could see how if these persons are eating honey buns for breakfast and they're eating, let me see, kettle corn for snacks, and they're having a Snickers bar when they have a blood sugar low, and they got a Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4 to give them a pick-me-up, all those things, you say, wow, no wonder that person's got diabetes. But even if a person is eating really, really good, but they are really, really either anxious or panicky or stressed, that does the same exact thing as eating sugar. Because when you feel like, so there's a difference between, I feel really good right now. I mean, this feels great. I love the way I feel. I'm at peace. I feel good on the inside. But what if you don't feel that way? What if you say to your husband, you know, I just feel uneasy on the inside. I feel nervous. I have this sense that things aren't going to go well. I'm catching myself worrying about things that are out of my control. My mind's racing out of control. I'm ruminating. Ruminating just means you keep reliving an event over and over again, even though you know you can't do anything about it, but you just play it over in your mind again. I've done that plenty. That's why I know all about it. But if you do that, if you feel nervous and jittery and uneasy, most likely your adrenal glands, you know what they're doing? They're saying, oh my goodness, we're in a crisis right now. What are we going to do? So it releases cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
And too much cortisol is a real serious problem. You can actually cause somebody to have diabetes just from overthinking. Or, now forgive me for saying this, I'm not picking on you at all, but women are probably much, it's much easier for them to multitask than it is a man. I mean, you already have figured me out. I can just do one thing at a time and no more. I can't do two things at once. I'm like hogtied. I can't do it. But women, quite often, that's their claim to fame. They can balance three or four things at one time, whereas a man, we're not wired that way. So the temptation is always to overthink. But if you're overthinking and overprocessing and your mind is racing, you know what I mean? If you lay down to bed at night and you go, oh my goodness, it's been like 35 minutes. Why am I not falling asleep? Am I overprocessing? There you go. That's what's doing it. And so your body, in response to that, releases cortisol. Now, the problem with cortisol, you got to have a little bit of it to be productive. But what happens if you get way too much of it? Well, if you get too much cortisol, it's going to stimulate what's called gluconeogenesis. And this is the short version of it, but what it does is, too much cortisol, it's going to go straight to your muscles. That's where your amino acids are. And it's going to break them down and convert muscle tissue or protein directly into sugar. And when you break muscle into sugar, your body says, oh my goodness, blood sugar's going up. What are we going to do? Your body starts releasing excess insulin. And so if over a period of time you just keep staying in this rut of overthinking and multitasking and processing and being stressed all the time, then you guess what? You win. You develop diabetes, not because you're eating junk food or sugar, but because your body is overproducing cortisol. And the body says, what are we going to do with the sugar? So it gets as much of it into the cells as it can, which is just what you were referring to earlier. The cells literally are jam-crammed full of sugar, and there's no more room, and so your body starts to develop insulin resistance. And then your body says, what are we going to do with the extra sugar? Well, I know what we can do. Let's convert it into fat. So the only stored form of fat that your body really produces is called triglycerides. And so if a person's triglycerides are above, say, 100, I would say this is part of the problem right here. If it, and so historically, it's usually very easy for a person to lose weight and to be relatively trim when triglycerides are below maybe 80 to 70 on a blood test. But if they're above 150, it ain't going to happen. It's just not, because you've got the chemical, powerful hormone signal that's telling your body, store fat, store fat, store fat. And so all these things, they start to decay the human body. They start to wear it out. Now, this is just my opinion. But I think if a person can come to terms with all these things and say, I think this is my problem, then all of a sudden, you got a way out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so one of the ways out is to stop the overthinking and the overprocessing, and that's not easy to do. So going back to the original conversation, if a person is overprocessing, if they have insulin resistance, then probably what they're doing is they're burning through their magnesiums at a faster rate than what they can replenish them from supplements or a diet. But still, I want you to try. I want you to take magnesium to help offset that damage that's taking place. But one of the ways that you get the body to heal is you got to give it a rest. What would you do to give your body a rest from processing food? It's called fasting. And so some people do it this way. They try to have one, and this works. I'm telling you it works. Did I mention it's free yet? Meaning you don't have to pay anything for it. It's just pure discipline. But then again, that's what God requires of you. That's your duty to discipline yourself, just like it's mine. Can't blame anybody else. Can't blame your husband. Can't blame your wife. Can't blame Joe Biden. You can't blame anybody. It's on you and on me. And so what you may try doing is you may just try one 24-hour fast a week to help improve the situation. Does that sound reasonable?
So it's reversible for somebody that has developed that through stress or whatever?
Yeah, it is. And there's other there's a lot of other techniques, and I realize you're asking like a very... Everything that you're asking is all good and wholesome. It's just going to take more time to flesh it out than a simple conversation on the radio. And the other thing that you start doing is you start training your body to work better. That's called exercise. And I'm telling you, I have read so many articles on this, and I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's impossible to heal the body without work. Let me tell you what the key is. Hard work pays off. Hard work pays off. Hard work pays off.
Yes. All right. Because I have worked on having healthy diet for quite a while, but my upbringing had an incredible amount of stress and abuse. So kind of carried on through life the way I operate, being task-oriented. And so stress has been a source of great, the thing that I always have to deal with, visible or invisible.
Have you ever found any particular way to deal with that where it's permanently gone? The stress.
Yeah, through prayer has helped a lot.
Okay.
But sometimes I find like I have an undercurrent in my physical body going on in spite of, even though it seems like I'm at peace in my mind.
Do you know what that's called technically? In medicine or in scientific neuro research, they call that the default mode network.
Okay.
Have you ever heard that term before?
I can say I may have, but...
So if you were to write down the word default and then mode and then network, you could actually YouTube that, which YouTube is a source of all information human.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. Maybe not all of it, but it's got a lot of information.
But I understand the definition of default. I mean, you fall to something else.
Exactly. And so this is your basic operating program for the human body. Now, usually it's kind of set by the time you're 5 or 6 years of age. And so I'm telling you right now, all this stuff that you're dealing with is going back to when you were before you were 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to find a way to help turn off the pedal to the metal default mode network. Mm-hmm. What's happening is your subconscious mind is racing at 99 miles an hour. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And so it's processing. So can I just tell you about maybe my childhood for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, since my father drank a lot of beer, or some days he did more than others, sometimes when he would come home from work, and listen, I had a great dad. I loved him. He was a good father to me. But sometimes I would have to get into the mode of anticipating what kind of mood is he going to be in when he gets home. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it when you're a child and all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, what's fixing to happen here? Is he going to be in a really... Of course, I know you've never been around a human being that's been a little bit crabby or irritable, have you?
I grew up with an aunt that was worse than that.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm very sympathetic to you, and I'm very sorry for that. And I would imagine day in, day out, you probably have very, very happy, pleasing customers that you work for, or clients that you work for, and you probably have some that become very, very unreasonable and difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so all this stuff, but so the key is if you can reprogram your default mode network, and I'm going to let you figure out how to do that because I don't want to say it on the radio, but you can figure it out by going on YouTube.
Okay.
And there are ways where you can completely rewire and fix that to where you calm it down. Now, I can tell you what happens in the real world because I see it all day long every single day. If somebody's default mode network is racing at 100 miles an hour and they don't like the way they feel and they're stressed all the time, and that's really the number one thing that's sabotaging their health and their body, well, what they do is they say, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to drink some alcohol. And so if you want to drink 3 glasses of red wine or 2 glasses of red wine where you start to chill out and relax, or you want to drink 16 beers or 3 margaritas or whatever, just fill in the blank, that will turn off the default mode network as long as the alcohol is exerting its effects on the body. But I don't, you know, you don't need me to tell you that alcohol is extremely toxic. If you want to totally wreck a human being, give them alcohol. That'll do it every single time. I'm even becoming hard-pressed to find much of a benefit. I know, if you told me you want a glass of red wine once a week, I don't know that I'm going to get bent out of shape about that. Now, if I push in your pancreas or liver and you scream, I'm going to tell you the truth. Don't do it. Stop it. No, it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that people do is they smoke marijuana, but it'll tone down the default mode network just for a little bit. But once the effects of the alcohol or the marijuana wear off, you're right back where you started from every single time. So...
So I have to Google the healthy alternative for that, right?
That's right. And so if you go onto YouTube and you type in, how do I correct or rewire the default mode network, you will come up with your answer. Mm-hmm. And then you will decide if that's something that you're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so you have a lot of options right now. But one of the things that I think has been really helpful for me is just telling myself, Roy, stop it. Stop overthinking. You can't do anything about that. Focus on this right here over here. That was kind of wordy, wasn't it? Focus on this thing right over here. Even that didn't sound right. I hope the English teacher is not listening right now because I may get an F on my report card. And so everything that you're asking is good. That's one of the reasons why herbs like ashwagandha, taking extra magnesium, vitamin C, getting a lot. I mean, if your default mode network is not working right, you need as much outdoor time as possible. I'll tell you that much. So there's no excuse. Let me look at the temperature real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see. Oh, my word. This is perfect weather. It's 23 degrees right now. How could you not get pumped out about putting on your tennis shoes and going for a walk right now?
Oh, if you are Eskimo, I guess.
Ma'am, stop making excuses. Just because we're living in the Arctic Circle this morning. But you know what? If you got into the habit of going for a walk every day and reading your Bible, you know, it's called filling your mind with the things that God wants for us. And you know what? I'm going to stand behind what I read this morning from the Bible. We are created in the image of God. We need to act like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to act like Satan. So if you go for a walk every day, that's been shown to help. Obviously eating good, high quality food, but what I would instruct you to do, please consider starting your day with a very high fat meal. That's called eggs and avocados. Now, I personally don't have anything against the occasional use of bacon. So if you want to get uncured bacon where they use celery juice to cure it instead of nitrosamines, you know, those are toxic chemicals,
sure.
Then that's something that you could do. Or in your case, I think your husband should just go slaughter the fatted calf and cook you a T-bone steak for breakfast.
All right.
I think my plans, and you can put butter all over it.
Okay.
And have an avocado with some Celtic salt. There's your magnesium. And what you do is everything that you do, every thought that you have, you're reprogramming the body to help yourself. You really are.
Sure. So with the magnesium, I do have the lactate in capsules. What is, I mean, you say you can never overdo it, but if you
you can overdo it, because if you get more than what your body can utilize, it's just, I mean, there's a limit to everything. It's kind of like drinking water. If I told you that I want you to drink 5 gallons of water within the next 5 minutes, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to be dead. It will dilute the calcium in your heart. Your heart will stop. Don't do that, by the way. But no, you can overdo the magnesium, but about the worst side effect is you'll just have looser or runnier stools. So what I would recommend is right before church service on Sunday morning, that's where you really experiment by taking a lot of extra magnesium. And since you sit on the front row, it won't be a big deal to race. I'm joking. You know that.
Absolutely.
So you got to find out, what is the Goldilocks just right amount? Is it 3 a day? Is it 4 a day? Is it 5?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can experiment with the capsules of magnesium lactate. And the truth of the matter is, every single human has what's called biochemical individuality. Just like I usually feel really, really good when I have bone broth, but not everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I feel great when I eat frozen cherries. Just like if you ask me, what's the supplement that makes you feel good? Cod liver oil. I love the way it makes me feel. Now, is that wrong of me to take cod liver oil because I think it serves me well, but I think I feel good? No. And the thing of it is, energy is the currency of the body. You're not going to tell me that you have way too much energy and you want a supplement to lower your energy levels. I've done this for 32 years. I've never had that request one time. No one's ever come to me and said, Dr. Morgan, I feel too good. I have too much energy and I'm too healthy. Give me a supplement. I'm saying, hey, baby, that's called a Mountain Dew and a Coca-Cola. That'll make you feel bad. So you need energy. But a lot of your energy is being burned up by cortisol, which technically cortisol is the chemical of fear. So, believe me, I'm not judging you. I have dealt with this stuff myself, and I still am. I'm a work in progress. But you know what? As long as you're alive, you have a duty to do the best you can. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
And you know what? Sometimes I hear a prayer, and it says, if we've been found worthy, and I always tell myself, well, we're not worthy. We're just doing our duty.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was worthy, but Roy is not worthy. But he's doing his duty, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for your phone call today.
Thank you, Russell.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Bye. All righty. If you want to join me on the phone, the number is 903-586-5257. There is a phone line open in case you want to call in. And I know you know my style, but I try to cover as much good information when there's a caller so I can cover as many bases as possible so there's something for everyone. Men, women, children, dogs, cats, you name it. Everybody benefits. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm going to ask a question and then hang up so you can talk about it, okay?
Sure.
Degenerative disc.
Okay.
A pinched nerve. I went from running around like a 30-year-old to being in a wheelchair in about 2 days' time, and I've been told probably surgery is the only answer. So, I would like you to talk a little about it a little bit.
All right. Once I hang up, I'm going to hit the ground running, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. I have no scientific evidence or proof, but take aloe vera every day. I've seen it work over and over and over again. You want to rehydrate the disc? You want to repair the disc? Well, then this is what you need every day. Start consuming bone broth. Take collagen. There's an element called silica. You better take it if you want to heal. And then glucosamine sulfate. Oh my goodness, if you Googled the term glucosamine sulfate and then rejuvenation of a ruptured disc, let's see what you come up with. I've always been impressed by that. And there's another molecule called MSM. It stands for methyl sulfonyl methane. You might want to look at that. I am a believer in cod liver oil. Anytime the body's in disrepair, that means you got inflammation. So when there's a structure in the body like a disc, if it has a bulge or a tear, it's going to be releasing a chemical signal that, hey, we're inflamed. What is the purpose of that? I need the bone marrow to send some fibroblasts down to this area so they can repair it. So vitamin C plays a role in that. So does magnesium. So does vitamin K. So does calcium. So if you have a ruptured disc, you better lay off the boatload of sugar every day. Everything that you do is going to make a difference. The other thing I would do is you got to hit the ground running and you got to start doing your own rehab every single day. One of the simplest books that you can buy for just a few bucks, it's called Core Performance by Mark Verstegen. And so, there you go. There's your plan. You know, I had a patient this week, and this is what he told me. He said, you know, my doctor is really, really upset over my PSA that stands for prostate specific antigen. And as a general rule, the higher that number goes, it tends to point toward what's called prostate cancer in men. If you're a woman, you do not have a prostate. You have a uterus, but you don't have a prostate, just like men don't have a uterus. Well, actually, maybe some men, never mind, I'm not going to say that. And so he said the doctor is really, really upset with my PSA being so high. And I asked him, I said, so what's his plan to fix it? He said, oh, he didn't have a plan. I said, okay. Being upset is not a plan. That doesn't fix anything. You got to come up with a plan. So if you say, my doctor is really upset because I'm having one urinary tract infection after the other, and they're just upset with me over that because I keep getting them, well, guess what? That's not a plan either. What would a plan look like? Well, if you're not drinking water, you're going to have to come to terms with that. I don't want to hear any excuses if you have chronic infections about how you don't like the taste of water and you only like Mountain Dew or beer. Baloney. Go tell it to somebody else. There's nobody that's going to believe that. And if you say it to yourself, you're only lying to yourself. It's as simple as that. So what's a plan? Well, if you have one urinary tract infection after the other, you better get with the program. That means you need to move a heck of a lot more. You know, so much of the human body is just getting oxygen and blood and nutrients to the tissues. And so could you imagine that you're so sedentary that you literally have fluid building up all over your body, and then you look like, I'm so puzzled. What do I do? What's the magic formula that I take to get rid of all this fluid in the body? Well, you know what the magic formula is? It's called getting up and getting moving and getting your heart pumping and your blood flowing. And the faster that, here's what I've learned in 32 years. The faster that blood moves through your arteries, the cleaner it is. How about that? And so I'm going to refer back to a study that I read years ago. They asked the question, how many gallons of blood do the kidneys filter every day? And if you're in a nursing home facility or you're in a hospital, it's on average of 200 gallons a day. Yes, it is the same 1 gallon that is just cycling through the arteries over and over and over again. Well, before you start jumping up and down and clapping your hands and doing jumping jacks and burpees and push-ups and running down the road screaming joy, 200 gallons is not good. You're not getting enough blood through your kidneys where they can do their job. The kidneys are some of the most elegant, sophisticated filter systems of the blood to keep you pure and clean. And if you're only getting 200 gallons that pass through your kidneys every day, well, get ready for another infection. It's coming. What would be normal? Well, 2,000 is normal. That's about average. Now, if you're athletic, it's going to be more than that. I mean, it's incredible. Here's what I believe. I believe that you're created in the image of God. Do you see God as someone that just lays around having to rest all the time and he's afraid and he just has to watch Fox News and wring his hands and worry about the world? No, he does not do that. We should follow his lead. We should be purposeful. And so if you're having chronic urinary tract infections, well, here's a little bit of advice. Move your body more. I'm not so sure that oxygen is not the greatest healing element. How are you going to get more oxygen? Well, you're going to have to breathe. If they called me and said, Dr. Morgan, we would like, I know this is really unorthodox, but we're at our wits' end. We don't know what to do about the healthcare system in Tyler. We want to put you in charge. You know what I'm going to say? I accept. Make me the chief of staff, the CEO. First order of business, we're going to build some hyperbaric oxygen chambers, more of them, and I'm going to use them about 100 times more than what they're currently being used, because oxygen is amazing. And yes, when you're sedentary, you don't have a lot of it. You just don't. Could you imagine if you take one of those little devices called an oxygen or a pulse oximeter? You put on your finger and the little laser diode is going to try to measure or calculate your oxygen saturation. Well, I hate to break it to you, but 91 is not a good number. The number 100 is good. 91, not so good. And so what happens when your body starts starving for oxygen? Well, the last time I checked, you're asking for all sorts of problems to occur. Cancer cells hate oxygen. I don't know, would that cut into the chemotherapy business if people were to, get more oxygen? I don't know. I think we should try it and find out, though. Somebody put me in charge. I'll start building some hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and I'll let everybody that listens to the radio go use them. You know, I'm just sort of teasing about that. But you know what? I'm not in charge. So what do you do when you don't have the best option? Well, you got to go to Plan B. Plan B is putting on your walking shoes. I know that 23 degrees, okay, yeah, I'm looking at, no, I'm sorry, I just told you a lie, it's back down to 22 degrees now. But you know what, it's so good for the body to be uncomfortable. I don't know if you've ever heard that idea. You don't need to be at 85 degrees on the thermostat. It's good to have the room cold. It's good to put cold wind on your face and cold water. You ever heard of Wim Hof? Your body needs stress. See, God knows exactly what he's doing. When God designed work, he knew what he was up to. Work keeps you alive. It keeps you moving. It keeps you going. What happens to men when they retire? Well, they start to deteriorate and die pretty quick. God knows that we need one challenge after the other. What does it say in James that we should count it all joy when we encounter various trials? Are you supposed to give thanks when you have a challenge? Yes. Not everybody can do that. I had a woman that had neuropathy, and I tried to explain to her what a tremendous gift this was that she had neuropathy, and obviously, she did not like anything that I said. And I told her the truth. And I said, well, what's the doctor's plan for neuropathy? And she said, he's going to give me 4,000 milligrams of gabapentin because 3,500 milligrams is no longer working. And I'm going, well, ma'am, is that what you want, or do you want to restore your nerves? She said, oh, more than anything else, Dr. Morgan, I want to regain normal feeling in my feet. It's driving me crazy. I said, well, you can start walking barefoot right now on the ground. I can't do that. It's too cold. I can't take it. I said, okay, then take your feet and dip them into a bucket of ice-cold water for 10 minutes a day. I can't do that either. Well, how about we start rubbing olive oil all over your feet? Can't do that. I don't like olive oil. How about castor oil all over your legs and cover them with wool socks so we can increase blood flow and circulation? Can't do that. What about riding a bicycle all day long? Well, that kind of makes me uncomfortable because I don't like that. Well, what do you like? I like quilting. I said, well, you can do that, but quilting is not going to do anything to grow brand new arteries and veins and blood vessels to your legs. And so you realize the responsibility is all yours. You can get a brilliant plan. I don't know if that's a brilliant plan. And actually, it's so simple. It's just about free. There may be a little bit of cost. I mean, it costs money, or it takes money to turn your faucet on and get water. It takes money to make ice cubes come out of the freezer into that 5-gallon bucket. But you've got to put stress on your body to get it to reach its full potential for healing. If you don't put stress on your body and make it work, how does your body heal? So what if you've had a horrible, horrible infection and you're stuck in bed right now? Well, let me tell you how this has to work. There's no other way. You have got to start telling yourself, get up out of bed and move. I kind of make this comment all the time to people that are in bed and they're sick and they want to know what to do. I said, make yourself get up and walk to the kitchen and back. And almost never, as in never, do they comment and say, thank you for that brilliant advice. It just doesn't happen. But if you do not use your mind, do you realize how powerful your mind is? I mean, it's your choice. You can set your mind like Flint right now that I'm going to get up 5 times today and I'm going to walk for 5 minutes instead of just laying in bed all day long. Do you realize how rapidly the body decays and deteriorates when you don't use it? I could say the same about the brain. I could say the same about the mind. I could talk about the nervous system. You're losing literally millions of brand new brain cells every day by choosing to be sedentary. So what are the things that have been shown to increase the number of brain cells in your body? And the reason I'm saying this is the more brain cells you have, the better you have a chance you have or opportunity to command your body to obey you. And so when you have a lot of brain cells and you tell yourself, Roy, get out of bed. Get up now. Move. It helps if you have more brain cells as opposed to fewer brain cells. Make your body obey you. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. So if you exercise, what are you doing? You're telling your body, I need more muscles, I need more blood, I need more oxygen, I need more energy. I'm telling you, it's going to end poorly just laying in bed. You got to get up. Get up. It's going to be really painful at first, but do it anyway. You're the general. Command your body to obey you. Get up out of bed right now and stand or walk. You got to let go of this total fantasy that more rest is going to heal the body. It doesn't work that way. That's one of the reasons why being on a ventilator is so bad, because your body starts decaying super, super rapidly. You lose your muscle mass. I'm telling you, if you're on a ventilator for like 10 days and you get off of it, thank you, Lord, but you're going to be so weak, it's going to take so much energy and effort to get up and get moving. The quicker that we can get through this, that's one of the reasons why. If you look at the statistics on the people that have had trouble with the COVID, Well, guess what? The ones that move and walk every day, they actually have, if they get it, they get the absolute most minimal, mildest expression of the COVID, whether it's the Delta, the Alpha, the Omicron, whatever Delta, whatever variant that came up with next. If you exercise, you've got more oxygen. You've got more blood flow. Your body's trained for labor and hard work. I mean, you may not agree with me, but work is a gift from God. Show me in the Bible where people retire. Yes, I know the high priest. He did his job for a while, then he was replaced. I understand that. But I doubt seriously he just retired and twiddled his thumb and goofed off. Can you just imagine? So, it's your responsibility to take care of yourself. You've got to become mentally and emotionally stronger. You've got to. You've got to let go of this idea that everything in this life is going to be super, super easy. It's not. It's one episode of suffering after the other. Thank goodness we have God to comfort us and to help us through. What is Jesus called? A man of suffering, right? You ever read the book of Isaiah? You ought to take a look at it. It kind of lays out pretty quickly that he suffered a lot. Now, was he just? Oh, my goodness, yes. Was he worthy? Absolutely. He was perfect. We're far from perfect. You heard the old phrase. I always thought it was funny when Foster Brooks would say, nobody's perfect, after he'd make a big blunder or mistake. And we're not. But you have today, so start setting your mind like Flint that you're going to take care of yourself. Yeah, you're a full-grown man, you're a full-grown woman, you're not a baby, you're not a child. No one needs to enable you. You don't need a special reward of a margarita just because you walked to the mailbox and back. You're only doing your duty. And plus, you win. The benefit is all yours because you have a body that you can use to bless and serve other people and lift other people up. So amazing how God designed everything. I just stand in awe of all of it. And so, yeah, this program is called Health Essentials. And you know what's essential for health? Deciding that you want to live. I always think that if you can at least confess what your issues are, and maybe it's like, I am tired of struggling with fatigue. Now you're in business. The fact that you're saying that tells me you want to try to change that. So what can you do? Well, one of the simplest things you can do is just start moving your body. And you know what? At first, it is not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be gut-wrenching. It's going to be painful. It ain't going to be fun. It's going to be exhausting. But what's going to happen if you make your body obey you? You're going to start growing brand new brain cells. You know what? Instead of just lying around watching TV, why don't you read a book? Reading and writing has been shown to grow brain cells. I have this balanced disc in my office, and I kind of play with it all the time. And you know what? It's hard to stay on it. But you need a challenge. The question is, can you look at yourself in the mirror right now, or if you don't have a mirror in front of you, can you honestly look in the mirror and say, thank you very much for all that I have right now. Thank you for this challenge. Thank you for this difficulty. And then say, I accept. And what are you going to do to work on it? I mean, it's your health. I'm telling you, it's you talk about one of the greatest blessings that God gives us. Oh, he is so good to us. It is so amazing. You know what? In the world that we're living in right now, this should be the easiest thing to talk about and the easiest thing to do, because you've got so many people that are so enabled, they don't really care to work. I keep reading articles from the Wall Street Journal saying that more people that are able-bodied are leaving the workforce because they're not being recognized or they're not being paid what they felt they're worth. Well, how are they going to pay their electric bill unless they work? It's a gift. So start working on your health today, and Lord willing, I will be back this time next week on the program Health Essentials.